Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we'll take our last few minutes today to talk to a baseball legend on this first week of the Major League season. And even though he's on the Red Sox, we'll be nice to Tim Wakefield, who, if you don't follow baseball, is one of the oldest major leaguers at 44, has started more games at Fenway Park than any pitcher ever in any home stadium, and like Jeter and Posada and Rivera on the Yankees, is one of the few stars to have played with the same team for more than 15 years. He won the Roberto Clemente Award last year, given to the player who best combines community service with on-field performance, and he specializes in the pitch that makes people scratch their heads and sometimes even laugh, the knuckleball. Tim Wakefield's new book is called Knuckler, My Life with Baseball's Most Confounding Pitch. Tim, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thanks,
from New
Brian.
York.
How are you this morning?
I'm okay, thank you. And since we're in New York, let me ask you first, does the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry mean something to players or just to the fans and the media?
No, it means a lot to the players, too. It's such great excitement when we come into New York and play the Yankees, and as well as when New York comes into Boston and plays us. It's the most heralded rivalry in all of sports, and it's fun to be a part of.
And the games are these great, drawn-out, epic battles. It seems to me like Yankees-Red Sox games always seem to take 4 hours.
I don't think we've ever played a game with New York that hasn't lasted under 4 hours.
Why is that?
It's just the patience and the rivalry is so strong that every pitch matters.
Have you seen the team allegiance change, though, over the years as players have become more likely to change teams? Does that make the rivalry mean less?
No, I don't think so. I think the rivalry is still there, regardless of whether, you know, new players come in or leave. And it's just been, you know, I tell new guys that come here, wait till we go to New York or New York comes to us, and you feel the excitement in the atmosphere and throughout the stadium. It's almost a playoff atmosphere during the regular season.
Even in spring training.
Even in spring training, yeah, you're right.
Most pitches are named after what the ball does. It curves, or it slides, or it sinks, or it's fast. Only the knuckleball is named after part of your hand. But you don't actually grip the ball with your knuckles, do you?
No, I don't. Actually, the knuckleball, I grip it with my fingertips and my fingernails. And then the reason why it's called a knuckler is because you can actually see the tops of my knuckles when I'm releasing the ball.
It seems like there are a few pitchers like you who are knuckleball specialists, but other pitchers don't throw it at all. Why isn't the knuckleball more common as just one tool in an ordinary pitcher's repertoire?
Oh, it's not as easy as everybody thinks. You know, everybody can relate to it because they see it being thrown up there at 65 miles an hour, and every guy in the stands says, well, I could do that, but it's really not that easy. You know, you have to really have a feel of to be able to take the spin off of ball and make it move as much as it moves, because throwing it up there at 65 miles an hour to the best hitters in the world, you better have some kind of movement on it or it's going to be a short night for you.
Now, you just mentioned the speed of your knuckleball there, 65 miles an hour. About a half hour ago, we posted a Twitter pop quiz, which was from 2004 to 2008, Tim Wakefield had the slowest average fastball in the majors. How slow was it? And among the people who tweeted, the person who came closest, you can confirm whether this is accurate or not, is Bugly91, who guessed 75 miles per hour, and the stats we have it at 74.8.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Do you need an... People who don't follow fast baseball may not know the typical fastball is in the 90s. So do you need a different kind of attitude than most athletes to be a knuckleball pitcher? Like, so much of sports is about doing things as hard as you can, but the knuckleball motion looks so unmacho, if I can use that word, you know, almost like you have to hold back.
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I wish I could throw harder, but I can't. And, you know, from a knuckleball standpoint, that our margin of error is so small because we're throwing it so slow. Where the conventional guy that's throwing 90 may be able to get away with a bad pitch, and he's got four other pitches to complement his fastball. With me, it's one pitch and one pitch only. Yeah. I wouldn't be able to survive very long with the 74.8 mile per hour fastball and a little curveball.
Does it take a certain letting go of the strength and power stereotype to become a good knuckleballer?
I think so. I mean, like I said before, I wish if I could throw my knuckleball harder. I mean, R.A. Dickey, who pitches for the Mets, throws his a little bit harder than I do, and it's just because he's got more arm strength or more flexibility or more leverage on his pitch. With me, it's you know, I'm really kind of throwing it as hard as I can, and it's, you know, it's not a full out effort, but it, you know, 65 is what it is.
Let me come from left field on something completely different for a moment. This show is mostly about news and issues. In your 20 years in the majors, have you seen a few times where players were the most inclined to talk about the news or politics?
Not very much, not at all. There is some political talk go on in the clubhouse every now and then, but for the most part, it's basically baseball.
Curt Schilling, who you pitched with, was an outspoken Republican.
Absolutely.
Most players keep their politics to themselves. Is the old stereotype of the conservative jock still the rule mostly?
Pretty much. You know, everybody's kind of, you know, we're well educated in some aspects, but for the most part, we're educated in the game of baseball more than anything else.
Has that atmosphere changed with the influx of Latino players? I mean, the political dominance of the conservative jock?
Not so much. You know, guys, the Dominicans or the Latino players that come in are pretty well set in their ways, and the conservative approach is pretty dominant in the clubhouse with everybody, I think.
How come all the Red Sox wear goatees?
I don't know. Good question. It's probably just the style.
You don't talk about it? Like, you've had your goatee for a long, long time. By the way, I have a goatee.
I have.
And I just wonder if people come in all, you know, over the years and they go, hey, yeah, Wakefield looks pretty cool. I'm going to do that.
They might. I don't know. I mean, guys are starting to grow beards now. You watch in the NFL, people are getting longer hair and growing beards. And I know Pedroia's growing his hair out, and he had a beard. He just shaved it a couple of days ago. So it just is a matter of, one, being lazy and not grooming ourselves too much because we play baseball every single day. And the other one might be because it's cool.
What have you seen change the most in the game in your 20 years?
You know, just I haven't seen a whole lot change. Obviously, the drug issue, the steroid issue, has really changed the game a lot. It's leveled the playing field quite a bit, and for the most part, the game itself has not changed too much.
We just have 15 seconds, but did you suspect the steroids era was upon us because you were a pitcher before most fans or media realized it?
I didn't really see a whole lot that was going on. You could tell the growth of some of the players, but for the most part, it was pretty much unseen.
The book is called Knuckler, My Life with Baseball's Most Confounding Pitch. Tim Wakefield, thank you so much, and best of luck to you.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.